Well, I want to take a few moments and share with you about an exciting opportunity that is before us as a community. About 18 months ago, for those of you who were around then or not, to catch you up, we took on this initiative called Drive. And in it, we said, okay, there's some things where we can't stay in neutral as a community, that we want to take responsibility for what God is doing in our community in terms of we want to move forward. God's got all the credit, but we need to say, you know what, we're not going to just stay neutral. We want to go where God tells us to go. We want to do what God calls us to do. So for us, we entered into this commitment financially, 3 years above and beyond our normal giving, our week-to-week giving here. And a big part of that was saying, you know what, we have this debt that's on our land and on this building here. We own 32 acres behind us, and said we need to free ourselves from that debt because we need to be able to move and to do the things that God wants us to do locally, and we need to free ourselves from that stranglehold that it has on us. But we also didn't want to just focus on our campus. We wanted to say, okay, you know, we feel like God's calling us and nudging us to look out in the world to see where we can make a difference. And one of the things we were certain that we didn't want to be marked by was that we didn't want to be marked by as a community that just does a little bit in a lot of different places. But rather, we felt God uniquely calling us to say, what would it look like if we made a radical, revolutionary difference in just a few spots in the world? And if in those few spots of the world that we could see revolutionary life change happen in people's lives that could continue on throughout generations and change families and change a culture and change one spot, then perhaps God would use that to inspire other churches, to inspire other people, other communities to say, where would God, would you would have us make a radical revolutionary difference? And so rather than all of us just kind of making little bits of differences here and there, what would it look like to make a radical, huge difference in a couple spots? And so we've talked about the Durham Rescue Mission here locally in Durham that we've partnered with, and we've talked about Kenya. But one of the places that was a part of that was the Haitian Children's Home in Jacmel, Haiti. Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. And we got very much inspired and have fallen more even in love with the dream of the Haitian Children's Home, where what they do is they've taken 25 kids into their home. And not in a home as an institution or of an orphanage so that they can adopt kids out, but they brought them into a family where there's a mom and a dad that cares for them and loves them, and where they become brothers and sisters in this home. And the goal is to raise them up in an environment where not only that they can come to know Jesus, but that they can experience what the love of a family is like. They can see a marriage of a mom and dad lived out and marked by love. They can be nurtured. And not only that, they don't be adopted out to someplace else or to some other country. And while that mission is just as beautiful, but this mission was to say, what do we raise them up to become world changers in their own country? That they would become the difference makers in their government and their leadership. They would become world changers in Haiti. And so that's the dream that they've come alongside. And so it's been a wonderful thing to partner with them over the last 18 months. And because of your faithfulness and giving and your sacrifice, we've been able to make a huge, huge difference already in the lives of these kids. But more than that, just being able to give, we've been able to get to know them. We were inspired by a quote by Shane Claiborne where he said, the problem isn't that the rich don't care about the poor, it's that the rich don't know the poor. And if the rich knew the poor, then poverty would come to an end. And so for us, one of the big mantles that we raised was saying, we want to know these kids. We want to know them. We want to know their stories. And so that these aren't kids that we get involved with that just kind of stay at a distance out there that we give money to. But what's it look like for our community to know them and to love them and to commit to them for a lifetime? And so that's been the dream. And dozens and dozens and dozens of you have sponsored these kids in this home. Dozens and dozens of you have traveled there to Haiti. Dozens more have already scheduled your trip to come so that when you see these kids, they're the ones that you're going to get to hug their necks. And so we've gotten to hear stories about girls like Linda when you would meet when you're down there, and kids like Omega and kids like Magdalene, where we see their stories, and some of us have heard those and we've been inspired by those and see the transformation that's taking place in their lives. But like these three kids, they were in the home already when we came alongside to partner it. But about 18 months ago or so, one of the children in the home had come of age and had kind of graduated out where they wanted to go to college, go to university, and kind of go out on their own. And so they moved out of the home, and a spot opened up in the Haitian Children's Home. And so one day they discovered this little girl named Vanya. Vanya, maybe some of you remember when the dad was here and I was interviewing him, and he shared the story of Vanya. How her mom needed bus fare to get to the city of Port-au-Prince, which is about 2.5 hours away. And so she sold Vanya for $13 to a voodoo priest. and Vanya was scheduled to be sacrificed in a voodoo ceremony the following week. And so Danny and Leanne paid $13 and they rescued Vanya and brought her into their home as part of their family. And you guys responded tremendously. Email started to shoot around and just within that hour, and all of a sudden we had clothes for Vanya. We had, you know, all sorts of just, you know, toiletries and supplies that she would need. All of a sudden it was just like, bam, we were able to get those down there immediately and take care of this little girl. And over the last several months, it's been awesome to see very firsthand the transformation that's taken place in her life, where now we see this little girl that's smiling and laughing and is full of joy. And those of you that have been down there, and you, when you pick her up and you hug her and you see this redemption and this resurrection that God is doing in her life, and we count it such a privilege to be even just a small part of that. But when Danny was also here, many of our hearts broke because we listened to Danny tell the story of Vanya's sisters, many of whom are in a slavery situation. Because you see, these kids that they bring in, these are kids that have been not only orphaned, but these are kids that many times have been abused, they've been sexually abused, they've been forgotten, and they've just been left on the streets. In Haiti, kids have no rights and have no privileges. They're treated the same as property, right up there with dogs in Haiti. And so they have no privileges. And so we've got kids just like Vanya's sister that there's not a room yet to bring them into a home. And as much as Danny and Leanne would want to, we also have to hold up this value of the home environment that we're trying to create in this dream and this vision of focusing on a few and creating resurrection, you know, in their lives and partnering with God with that, not trying to take in as many as we can and not giving them any attention and not being able to love and to nurture them. And so when I was down there just a few months ago, and it was heartbreaking walking among the kind of the slums there and seeing thousands upon thousands of kids kind of basically just kind of playing in sewage, not having anywhere to go, not having any food, barely having any clothes at all. Kids that can't afford to go to school. Public school in Haiti costs a significant amount of money that most families can't even afford to send their kids to public school. And so this dream began to emerge with the Haitian Children's Home. What could happen? What could happen if we could secure a piece of property and we could build maybe, let's say, 8 homes on that? And that each home could have a set of parents where they would bring in 25 kids and they would nurture and care for them and raise them as their own. What would happen if not only that, but we could build a school that could house like 800 kids to reach all these kids, other kids that we can't necessarily fit into homes, but that they could get an education, they could get a warm meal during the day. What could happen? What could happen if we could build a church? What could happen if we could build a community center on a piece of property and help transform, radically transform an entire community, transform families and transform generations? And so a property of land has come available. Here's a piece. Here's what it looks like. I want to show it to you. For the last 2 years, it's been in discussion that this piece of land, this is what the site plan has been drawn up on. You've heard us talk about it. You've heard me blog about it. We've shared about this land for the last 18 months or so. 17 acres outside of Raymond, Haiti. And it's a beautiful piece of property. I want to show you kind of just how beautiful it is when you get along the coast. And sometimes I know when people see that, you know, they'll go, wow, that's just so, I mean, beautiful. And, you know, I don't know if we should try to buy that kind of beauty for, you know, orphans. Can we maybe find just something else? And let me tell you, I love, love the dream and the picture of having the forgotten and the neglected and the abused waking up and seeing that. That the, you know, the areas of land that so many times are reserved for the elite, that only certain people ever get access to that kind of beauty, that we could be a part of saying, you know what, I want those kids, I want the least of these to get the head seat at the table. And I think that honors Jesus and it honors his way. And so the owner of this land, who's owned it the last couple years, is a big believer in the Haitian Children's Home. He's not a Christian, but he sees the transformation that they're doing and they're partnering with in other people's lives and how they in turn help the community and other kids in the community and serve them and provide education for them. And so he's offered this land at a huge discount rate. But that rate is still a significant chunk of change. It's $415,000. Now, which is a very small price for this land and the property and oceanfront and all those different types of things. But it's a big chunk of change. But the window of opportunity to purchase this land recently has began to kind of begin to close, where it's not as broad as it once was. One reason is we have a family from our church Nick and Gwen Mangine. Many of you know the Mangines. You've seen them up here on Christmas Eve. You know, they do the skits with the kids. They teach our elementary school kids and our preschool kids downstairs. They're very involved in our church. And they've said, you know what, we're going to move to Haiti this next year. And we're going to become the parents of another home where we can rescue another 25 kids. And we want to be a part of home number two and see resurrection and redemption happen in their lives. And so they're all in. They've just sold their house. They've kind of just said, whatever we need to do, they're in. And so they're going to be moving in a few months, and we need a place for them to go. And they need a plot of land, and they need to be able to start building a home. And so we need to kind of figure out, hey, if this is going to happen, then we need to be all in. Another reason that window is starting to close is because the owner of the land has been starting to receive lots of offers on it. And he loves the vision of the Haitian Children's Home, but he's also a businessman. And so for him, he's trying to kind of hold off for a while just to see. But that window, we can imagine, could close quickly. And so over the last, you know, 20 months or so, 18 months, there's been a lot of people, even across the country, individuals, even our church included, that have heard about the land and said, man, we need to do something about that. Somebody needs to do something about that. And there's been a lot of people that have been talking, but nobody has stepped up. And so I was praying probably about a month ago about this in particular, and I got just nudging. I mean, my relationship with God is kind of mystical, where I don't hear God out loud, but I just get kind of nudgings or impressions, you know, thoughts that run through my mind. And it was simply God saying, you know, Jonathan, it's time for Cross Point to make this thing happen. And so I started telling God all the reasons why that wasn't possible, you know. And I said, well, God, you know, I just don't know. That's a lot of money. And God, everybody knows money's been tight. Budget's been tight. We've talked about that here in our community. And God, we're also in the middle of this financial campaign where we committed already, hundreds of us, you know, above and beyond, you know, significant dollars for the next, you know, 3 years. And so, man, we're already a part of that. And God very clearly just kind of prompted me. And this thought that ran through my head and said, Jonathan, what you're doing is you're leading out of fear. That's what you're doing. And you're not leading out of this vision to make a radical revolutionary difference in my name in the world. That's the kind of community that I want you to be, and that's the kind of leader that I want you to be. And I was living in that fear of the worst case scenario. I talked about that a couple weeks ago and how encouraged that prevents us. This fear of the worst case scenario prevents us from experiencing the transformation that God wants to do in us and through us in our lives. And he was like, Jonathan, what I want you to do is I want you to get up, and I just want you to ask. I want you to ask. And I want Cross Point to say, let's go for making a radical revolutionary difference. So I'm asking. And so next week, here's what it's going to look like. We're going to take an offering, and we're going to take the money, and we're going to give it toward this land. Now, already through some of our giving here at Cross Point as a church, that many of you, because of your continued give, we've already been able to give some. And so we need about $385,000 to purchase the land. And so next week, when we take this offering, and again, for some of you that aren't a part of our community, or maybe you're new to the community, you need to understand, I don't touch the money here. So I don't touch it. We have CFOs, and we've got, you know, accountants that are part of our congregation that handle all the money. Once it comes to the offering bag, goes straight up to them. Then we have an off-site accounting firm outside of our leadership that handles all the books and the numbers. And so we have lots of checks and balances for accountability, and I never touch it, and I never see it. And so I want you to know that. So when the offering comes next week, we're going to take one offering. And so the first $31,000 a week is our budget. And so we'll fund the budget, and everything on top of that $31,000 is going to go toward purchasing and securing this piece of property and contributing to that dream. If we get more than that, then what's going to is to start building homes. The homes there, these eight homes that we desire to build, and kids, like the Mangine's home, $85,000 is what it's going to cost to build that home. And so it's going to go toward that and building the other homes and building the school. It's all going to that project. And so this is the big, you know, stop drain that has to get unplugged. I mean, for some people, it's a lot more exciting, and other churches even talked about, well, maybe we'd love to build a building, or maybe we'd love to do that, and there's reasons that maybe we can put our name on a building. I don't know. But for us, the land is the thing that has to get it all moving. And so I feel like God has equipped us and wired us as a community. Just tell us what needs to get done. I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care whose name gets on it. You tell us as a community here at Cross Point what needs to get done. And I want us to be the kind of community that says, then we're going to do it. So that's going to happen next week. And so I want you to take some time this week to pray, talk about it together in your family, and say, what's that going to look like for us? And there's a lot of things I know we could spend money on. A lot of things, maybe money we've put aside, maybe money that we've received recently that we weren't expecting, maybe money that we've just put away in savings, lots of things we could spend it on. But I guarantee you, none of us would ever regret taking a big gulp and saying, you know what, I want to be a part of something way bigger than myself. I want that money to go to something that is going to be a part of transforming lives. And again, not people that you have to distance yourself from or that you would never see, but people that you can go personally, get to know, love on, see how that money is transforming lives personally. We're going to continue to invest in these kids and in this spot in the world until we see God do tremendous revolution and resurrection there. And so for some of you, I don't know what that gulp looks like. For some of you, gulping, writing a check, I know for some of you is going to have a couple zeros behind it. For some of you, that gulp is going to have a few zeros. For some of you, a gulp would mean four zeros. For some of you, a gulp would mean five zeros. Again, we could spend money on lots of different things, but I feel like this is something God wants us to do. So I'm standing up and I'm asking, and that's my responsibility before God. And us as a community then have to take responsibility on what we're going to do afterwards. And I can't think of a better way to kind of wrap up this series about living in concert with one another and living in concert with God than being a part of something this huge and this revolutionary. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thanks. Thanks for inviting us into missions, into adventures way bigger than who we are. Thank you for inviting us into opportunities that make us nervous, that make us gulp. And God, I pray that all of us would feel the weight of the responsibility. Father, I pray that we would be the kind of community that wouldn't just talk about things, but we would be the kind of community that together would step into a moment and we would let you do through us bigger things than we could ever imagine. And so, God, we love you. We thank you for the privilege that you give us to journey with you. And Father, may we continue to not only live out your resurrection and your redemption and proclaim your death and the freedom that comes with it among one another, but that we would proclaim that truth all across the world in a way that people can see it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys very much. We'll see you next Sunday.